Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Believe in Everything Auburn is brought to you by Bet Online, which remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season with analysis of every play, prop, and point at Bet Online. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at Bet Online, plus updated odds for everything from live games, championships, and of course, this weekend's Final Four. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up, and they will give you a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but you have to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is B-L-E-A-V, to receive that 50% welcome bonus on betonline.ag, where the game starts. I'm really mixing up the voice inflection on that ad read. I don't know if anyone's noticing, but I feel like it's gotten kind of a little sauce on it, you know? I thought it had gotten a little repetitive, so I'm trying to really mix up the inflection. So with that, welcome everyone. Welcome to Believe in Everything Auburn. I am Taylor Davis, joined as always by Jason Campbell, the legend himself. Not to be confused with Jason Taylor, though I tried to do that last week on the episode. Actually, no, that was Tuesday, so on our last episode. But what's up, everyone? Hope you've had a fantastic week. We are coming at you again with this 2-episode-per-week format. We are also coming at you on video, as we try to do every episode now. So if you are listening and would prefer to watch, we are on Believe's YouTube channel. Come and say hello. And I will say hello to my co-host, Jason Campbell, who is looking sharp today. A little commercial action this morning. I'm wearing a t-shirt, but I will explain it when we get a moment. So tell the people, Jay, what's life like as a star?
Oh no, it's life like it's a used to be star.
Former.
You know, I say this. You know, you still involved in a lot of different things. And like I tell these guys, don't just come through college and just float through there or float through your career and not try to establish yourself, because at the end of the day, it's all about relationships. And I still get a chance to do a lot of things I love and enjoy because of the relationships I built. When I was in college, and not only in college, but when I was playing in the National Football League. So that's what life is like. Is if I had a memo to just tell these young guys, is don't ever think that you're too high or you're too busy to take notice of those around you. So, you know, always give them some time and appreciate where you are.
That's really cool. And hey, any shoot that you walk away with Chick-fil-A is a win in my book. And he was snacking on them before we started recording.
Snacking on some minis. I'm not even lying. Snacking on minis and snacking on some protein.
As you should. All
that type of stuff. You know, just I didn't get a chance to eat a real lunch today.
That is lunch, Jay. You enjoy those minis all you want. Maybe one day our show will be sponsored by Chick-fil-A. That is my dream.
And you know, the guy, the grandson of the owner of Chick-fil-A, well, his son now owns it, but his grandson actually played with Ronnie and I at Auburn.
So, that's pretty cool.
You know, there are awesome ties there. So, who knows? Who knows what's in the room? But I got something, though. This weekend is the Final Four for the ladies and the men. We never talk about the ladies' Final Four.
I know. And the SEC has half of it.
And the SEC has half of it. So, let's get into it then, Taylor. I'm going to run the show a little bit today for you fans that didn't know. You know, Taylor said we didn't have much to talk about today. So, you know, I always got something to talk about.
Drive the ship. Let's do it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Some of y'all watched that show called Formers, Looking for a Wife. Have you seen that show?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It's on
Formers, Looking for a Wife.
Yeah, it's on Fox. It comes on.
Former what?
farmers, like a farmer, like got us out, you know, farming land and cows.
Farmer.
Yeah, a farmer.
It sounded like you were saying former, like you called yourself a former. I was like, what do we have, former athletes?
No. A farmer. Mississippi accent there. A farmer. Yes.
Farmer wants a wife. Oh, no. Yeah. I did not know.
Like The Bachelor, SF, or they're farmers, and they're trying to see, so they're dating different women, and they're trying to see which one will actually meet to be their wife, so which one can handle getting muddy and
the
being
farm?
Yeah, doing all type of farming stuff. Wait. With chickens and cows and all this type of stuff. So I was watching it last night, and I was just like, what? So
wait, hold on. I'm surprised this isn't filming in one of our hometowns, but...
Yeah, they're trying to see, can she really be about that life?
That is hilarious. No, I had no idea this was a thing. Is it good?
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting, you know? Like, yeah, I don't really get into reality shows for real, but I just wanted to watch it because there's something different.
Yeah.
So I was watching it, and I was sitting there, and I said, I wonder if Taylor would want to go on this show since she's from Alabama.
Absolutely not.
Going out here.
Absolutely not. No. Thank you so much. But I decline very quickly.
Man, it's a lot of work, though. So
yeah, no, it's a no for me, dog. But things you don't expect to learn about Jason Campbell is that he is watching this season of Farmer Wants a Wife. You love to see it. Well, let me explain my t-shirt. It is, anyone can see? Anyone know?
A younger guy.
Younger Bo Jackson. Look at that. It is opening day for all who celebrate. Happy MLB opening day. I know it is a big day for so many people. And if you are listening and you are a diehard MLB fan, then today's not even Thursday. Today is opening day. So we are happy for you in that. And so I had to bust out actually his rookie card from when he played in the Futures All-Star game as a Royal. And when I worked for the Royals a couple seasons ago, they had a team store that I got to go in and just like pick out what I wanted for game days. And I saw this and I was like, immediately get me that. And then I ordered it for a couple of my friends too, because it's his Futures baseball card, which is pretty cool.
It is.
So I thought it was appropriate for me to wear on today's show, given that it's opening day. Jay, we talk about you. Obviously, you did your thing on the football field. We get it. You also were a pretty touted basketball player as well. If you played baseball, what position would you have played?
I did play baseball.
You played baseball.
Yeah, I stopped playing baseball in ninth grade in high school. So I was a pitcher, shortstop, and first baseman. So I was a really good pitcher. And I was a really good first baseman.
I would have guessed.
And as shortstop, I was good. But when the ball made a short hop one time, it hit me right in my esophagus.
Nope.
I was like, I'm done with shortstop. Mm-hmm. But I like baseball. It's just, it was hard to do all three. And I had to make a choice when I got in high school. And I just decided to just stick with football and basketball. But I did like baseball, though.
All right. I guess I'm better off asking you this. What sport are you not good at?
Oh, believe it or not, I would probably say volleyball. Because when they hit the ball, they smack it down so hard, you got to get two hands under it and control it. And every time that happens, I get two hands under it, and that thing's going 20 yards to the right. So, you know, I can go up and smack it down. But when somebody smack it on the other side, you got to get them two hands under it.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that.
The returns are
off of it, the return serve. And I'm just like, if I hit it 30 yards.
Okay. All right. So if I ever want to have a shot in competing against you, we're going volleyball because I think I could hold my own. Yeah. Oh, man. All right, people. Well, let's talk. Today's episode might be called Shooting the Breeze. Thank you. I was like, can I cuss on Believe's YouTube? I'm not entirely sure. We'll call it Shooting the Breeze. But the obvious is that the Final Four is upon us. And while no one should listen to our picks because we lost that privilege last weekend, as everyone did, are there any perfect brackets left?
I imagine someone that's one of these four teams probably picked their team to make it just because they're just an avid fan.
Yeah, but I don't think you got the rest of the field right. This has been
I doubt anyone got the rest of the field right, but yeah. You know. That's just like, hey, we call a spade. Nobody should have won this bracket. No. You know, but
if you did, it would literally was luck because this was absolute insanity. But the final four is among us. A champion will be crowned this weekend. So let's go ahead and give our picks. So we've got take them with a literal grain of salt. We've got San Diego State, FAU. Two teams of perhaps destiny, two teams of maybe a little magic, who knows? But San Diego State, we talked about who everyone had to go through. They had to defeat Alabama and Creighton. Very impressive. FAU had to beat Tennessee and Kansas State, who also seemed like a bit of a team of destiny. Everyone in this situation this weekend has an impressive resume through the tournament. Like, there's just no question. San Diego State, FAU. I'm going to go with the Aztecs, San Diego State.
Huh, of course you will, after I picked them to beat Alabama. But, yeah. You know, so I'll say this. I agree with that pick only because defense wins championships. It's not just in football. It's also in basketball. And that's why the Aztecs are where they are right now, because of their defense. And, you know, they play physical. So I do like this in a close, close game, though. Like, FAU has really, really, like, shined all year. They only lost like what, two games or three?
Yeah,
so they've been a really good basketball team all season long. So don't sleep on the Conference USA.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, and then the other way, we've got UConn and Miami. Now, I really, Miami was not on my radar heading into this tournament. I think because of where they sat in the bracket, they had Houston, they had Texas. Like, there were all these other teams that just seemed to be the more likely pick. And now I'm sitting here watching this team and I'm like, they've got it all. And here's the thing, you know, we talk about these coaches, like, why would you go against Tom Izzo? Why would you go against Rick Barnes? These guys that have coached so deep into the tournament. Miami's coach is one of the most longest tenured coaches. Like, I mess up his last name, Larrañaga. I'm not sure. I mess it up every time I say it. But this guy has been in these situations. He has such a pedigree under him. I don't know that I'm going to pick against them. I feel like Miami has something figured out, and they kind of were the unexpected team. And now that they're there, they've put everyone on notice.
And they had to beat the two hardest teams to get there.
100%.
You know, like, you had to, like I talked about it in the last episode, two teams is in the state of Texas that it's a home game for them if they can get to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And they beat both of those teams. And I like how Miami plays. They play small ball. They have one big guy who looks like a defensive end that can come off the edge in the middle. But other than that, though, he's like a rebound machine. He just gets physical with everybody. But this game is interesting. This is different. UConn has about 3 7-footers. And the thing about this team is they can shoot the rock. So, you know, they play tenacious. They play with an edge to them. So this is going to be a game that I think is going to be the winner of this game, I think, wins the championship. And I just think, because yes, San Diego State is really good defensively, but we already know when it gets to that championship game, you better be able to put the ball in the hoop.
Yeah,
and I just feel like Miami can do that. UConn can do that. So in this game, I'm gonna have to go ahead. I really, really like Miami because they just keep coming at you. But my heart's saying UConn.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, you got to go with your heart, Jay. You got to go.
With your heart. I went with him with San Diego State. Look where he got me.
That is so true. That is so true. Okay, so in that case, you think UConn wins the whole dang thing?
Yeah, I think UConn wins the whole thing.
I would agree with you. I feel like UConn or Miami will probably walk away with this thing, and I won't be surprised either way. All my surprises are out because of how my bracket already turned out.
Well, Vegas is going to be excited this weekend because a lot of people are not going to know how to pick these games.
No.
So, you know, somebody's going to win big and somebody's going to lose big.
Yeah, so true. It's going to be exciting, though. And then, okay, so the women, we've got, like I said, the SEC has half the field, South Carolina and LSU. How about Kim Mulkey, man? She just, she knows how to win everywhere she goes.
Yeah, coming over from Baylor, like, you know, everyone knew it wouldn't take her long to get the LSU program because the way that she can recruit ever since her Brittany Griner days, like, and you know, they've had girls, she know how to get big, tall girls and just athletic. And you know, the fact that what's the girl, Angel Reese, I think is her name. Like, she's a superstar.
Yeah,
you know,
she is.
And you gotta have one like that on your team. And I just feel like in this tournament, you know, South Carolina, you know, the Boston girl, like, she's, you know, 6'5". Like, tell you where these girls come from. They're, she's 6'5". And then they have another girl that's 6'7". And I like Iowa, too. Iowa has Caitlin Clark. You know, she's another star. But when she gets the ball in this game, she's going to have to turn around and see a 6'5 and a 6'7".
So, you know, so
they're going to have to win playing South Carolina, playing team basketball. And Virginia Tech, they're the team that put together the longest. That's going to be a really good game between them and LSU. I really think that game is going to go down to the wire.
So we could have an SEC national championship.
We could.
That would be wild. You want to get picks? Both of those games happen tomorrow, Friday night at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, Iowa, South Carolina, and LSU, Virginia Tech.
I like the SEC championship, but my heart again is saying Virginia Tech versus South Carolina.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Iowa. I was like, damn, we're not getting anyone.
No.
Okay.
South Carolina, I've been watching them all season. They're pretty tough out.
Well, and I mean, that program has built consistency. Like, hats off to what Kim Mulkey is establishing at LSU. But this is fairly new. Like, they're still establishing and creating this program that Dawn Staley has been building for years. So I do think that makes sense. And Virginia Tech is the one seed. So that's going to be a really tough game for LSU. But very exciting, and exciting for the conference as well. Yeah. Okay, give me some other storylines, Jay. What do you want to talk about?
Wow, let's talk about a little bit of NFL. Let's go with Lamar Jackson right now. You know, what's going on there?
That has been quite the saga.
All right. Someone on the inside is leaking some information. So this has become very personal. And the reason it's become very personal is because now you have an athlete pretty much negotiating with the company. And the reason they're not going to go ahead and give this deal the way that Lamar wants it is because it's not anything to do with his play. Lamar, there's a lot of teams that should be interested, but they're saying they're not interested in. And come on, you mean tell me Atlanta Falcons wouldn't welcome Lamar Jackson to Atlanta?
Right.
Like, he's a right-handed Michael Vick in Atlanta. But what's happening, Taylor, is if Lamar Jackson can negotiate this contract, and he gets a fully guaranteed contract. And it all started from the mess up of Cleveland when they gave Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed. That put the rest of the NFL like in a bind because now all players want to be paid like their peers. Right. And so Lamar's looking at his accolades. He's like, hey, my accolades are bigger than Deshaun's accolades right now. So why can't I get $230 or more? Because Cleveland is the only team to ever do that. But Baltimore is saying, we've been competing for championships even during the Tom Brady and Peyton Manning era. Mm-hmm. And we had Joe Flacco and we had great defenses. So they're looking at it like, last year we lost to Cincinnati in the playoffs off a fumble that ran back for 99 yards for a touchdown. So it's not like we want to give up our whole team pretty much for one player. They feeling like they need all the other guys along with Lamar, but they're not trying to sell off the whole team. So the problem is, really, honestly, nobody's really saying it, that if Lamar pulls this off, what do they think is going to open up Pandora's box for all the other athletes to say, we don't need agents. We can just deal directly with the team. And when you do that, it makes everything personal where you have an agent there. There's a person standing in the middle of the gap that's doing a negotiation. So this person looks like the bad person, or this person is the one doing negotiating, while you can just continue to do what you need to do. But when you don't have that agent standing in the middle, now there's friction. Now there's, you know, it's getting really personal because now there's feelings and emotions all getting tied up into this. And I'm sure Baltimore does love Lamar, but they're not willing to sell off everything just for one person. But the problem is, too, he's missed a couple of games and they're talking about durability. But Lamar saying, hey, that's the reason why I want to get paid, because I'm one play away from the way that I play. My career could be over at any point. So
But then why is a team going to be willing to screw themselves with that possibility?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So somebody's going to take a hit here. You know, somebody's going to take a little bit of a hit here because Baltimore's not trying to budge a lot, and then Lamar's not trying to budge a lot. And the problem is feelings are getting tied up into this thing, and I don't know how this is going to end well. And because if Lamar gets this contract, a lot of players are saying, well, shoot, I don't need an agent. I can save that 2-3% on these million-dollar contracts and just go out here and negotiate it myself, which that's kind of hard, though.
Do you think he has earned what he is asking for?
Hey, I say Cleveland made a mistake of giving Deshaun Watson $230 million because he set out the entire year the year before, and they paid him $230 million. What you do when you do that is, yes, you're not supposed to compare, but in the NFL, based off what someone around you is getting, your peers, that is what predicts your contract when it's your time. So the thing is, whether he deserves it or don't deserve it is what's been put out there and everything. And he's feeling like, based off his accolades, he feel like he deserves that. But see, that's the personal side of it. The business side of it is Baltimore saying, we're not making a mistake because Cleveland made one.
Right.
You know, like, we want to keep a whole nucleus together. So just because Cleveland did this doesn't mean we have to. So that's the problem you run into, because both sides, you can see it both sides way, but where's the happy medium? It's going to be hard to find a happy medium because there's no negotiator.
Yeah. I feel like Lamar may be running himself into a corner right now. Because there's no other team that's coming to his rescue right now. No one is going out and sticking their neck on the line saying, well, if they don't, we will. It's a big jump. And I think, like you said, people saw the Browns do that and the mess it got them in, and they're going, we ain't doing that. Even if Lamar is a much better talent, much more reliable, et cetera. And I think deserve and earn are different things. Does he deserve it? Potentially. Has he earned it to this point? Has he showcased enough to alleviate the doubt that a lot of people are going to have when that much money is on the table?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. But at the end of the day, like, he's looking at it. You watch Lamar play. His style of play, you know, is not a 15-year career in the NFL.
Right.
Because you can already start to see it starting to take some of the toll on him as he goes. But isn't that part of the organization's fault too, though? Because they call on all these plays with him to run with the football and everything. So then when his contract comes up, you already done used him a whole lot. So now you have to find a way to have a happy medium that both sides can walk away and say, look, we both won in this deal. Because even Lamar has to think too. He played at the MVP level, but you had great defenses. You had a great run game, you know, as well. You don't want to be in a situation where Cleveland has been in the past, because they're not able to have all these things to surround the quarterback to be so successful. Yes, they just paid Deshaun Watson all this money, but is it going to pay off? Because now they can't even afford a star corner. You can't even afford a star left tackle or center. So you have to make sure. That's why you look at Kansas City, how they did it with Patrick Mahomes. They did Patrick Mahomes' contract a certain way to make sure they can keep weapons around him.
Right.
And he's still making his money, but they did it in a certain way. So the hard thing for me is I don't like seeing a situation like this end ugly. He's so young in his career.
I know.
He was MVP a couple of years ago. And I always tell people, comparisons is the thief of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to compare and all this type of stuff, it's the same thing we're seeing in college football with NIL. You know, kids are comparing what this kid over here got or what that person got. And then you're robbing yourself of the joy and happiness to understand where you're at. So I hope they're able to work this thing out. But if not, but Taylor, there's teams that want him. They're not going to come out and say they want him.
Right.
But owners are sticking together on this because of what happened in Cleveland. So they're sticking together and say, we can't let what happened in Cleveland happen again. It's going to mess up all of this, because how are we going to be able to sustain it?
Right. Well, and you know what's also interesting is when you look across the landscape of sports, I mean, the salary differential, even between Major League Baseball, with today being opening day, versus the NFL, is night and day. Like what those guys are negotiating for in the MLB Players Association versus what NFL guys ask for is insane. And truth be told, the wear and tear and the physical implications of the game of football outweigh every other sport. There's no way around it. So I do think that maybe a bigger issue is kind of where the salary cap lies in the NFL right now, especially when you look across other professional sports leagues. And so if we're starting to expand for individual players, I can see where ownership groups and presidents are weary of that, because they're going, okay, we are about to tip the scale for one guy, and then the rest of our guys are going to be spread even more thin. And then you get into trades and drafts and whatever, and the money management becomes more challenging. Maybe if the entire ship rises, we're in a better situation, because I also think the nature of the quarterback position right now and moving forward is more of Lamar's style and Pat's style, and this, like, the pocket passer, the prototypical guy, that's not the norm anymore. And so that is going to shorten the lifespan of their careers in the NFL. So they're trying to, I'm sure Lamar is like, okay, this is also for guys that are going to come after me who play the game like I do. And we have a very heightened potential to get screwed financially. And so it does set a better precedent for the style that you do feel like offenses are leaning toward and will continue to. But I think a bigger issue is the monetary imbalance that we've got across professional leagues.
Right. And football always should have been guaranteed contracts.
You know,
just because like you said, a heightened level of injury. I remember back when I played, basically only 30% of your contract was guaranteed.
That's crazy. You know,
so they have gotten better to now they're at about 70%.
Yeah.
Contracts guaranteed. So they're at a 40% increase from when I played to nowadays from guaranteed money. So they've gone way up in that aspect. They ever get to fully guaranteed, I think shorter years they'll do it. You know, 3 years, we're guaranteed 3 years. They did with Kirk a couple of years ago, Minnesota, because it was a 3-year, $80-some million contract. So, but 3 years and 5 years is two different things.
Right.
And so, you know, we still got a long ways to go to figure out that aspect of it and everything. But baseball and basketball, these guys, I've seen guys sign $300 million and also they have a Tommy John. They miss a whole year. And he still made $50 million.
Yeah.
You know, so what's the difference in football? If a guy signs a big contract, he gets hurt and he misses the rest of the season, so be it. That's part of the business.
So,
I just feel like football gets punished a lot from that aspect. But from a business standpoint, Baltimore looking at it like, look, we want to compete for championships.
Yeah.
Some people that own teams only care about getting butts in the seats and utilizing
with a franchise player.
Right.
Yeah.
One franchise player to bring in money to put in their pockets.
You know,
they're looking at it like, we like winning championships.
Right.
Compete for championships. So they want a team. So you have to respect both sides. It's just that then there's no rush because you still got draft day.
True.
You know, you still, so there's no rush right now. I think media makes it more of a thing.
If that deal is not done by draft day, do you think it affects their picks or no?
It could, because you got a guy like Anthony Richardson sitting there who plays a similar style.
Very similar.
To Lamar. And Baltimore is sitting there and they'd be like, well, we can get this kid for a lot less. But then, you know, now we can pick up some trades from other guys, get some more guys for this position. But where would Lamar go? I would love to see Lamar in Atlanta.
I just really
think it fits him. I think he fits the division. I think he fits the conference. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Only because I know they're trying to stick together on this thing, but
yeah.
So we shall see though. We shall see. That's the business aspect of it. That's ugly, you know, and everything, but you know, you have to respect both sides.
Yeah, definitely do. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, we have talked so much about Holden Gehrner and that has continued. You pointed out to me before we started recording, there's even been a little adjustment to kind of the flow in which they do things at practice.
Yeah, you know, I watch all the little things. And this is what happens. So before, Robbie and TJ would always be the first two in the line doing drills and different things. But this time, Holden Gehrner has been the one in the front doing the drills and everything and handing the ball off to Jarquez and throwing swing passes and warming up with the one. So that tells me a lot. That tells me that, you know, they're really giving him an opportunity not because he's giving it to him. They feel like he's earned this. His teammates feel like he's earned this opportunity because you haven't seen him say much. He's not a big rah-rah guy. Mm-hmm. He's just a guy that goes out, puts in the work, you know, work extremely hard. And he's a guy that's going to make mistakes because he's young, you know, and everything. So they have to see what they have in him as well. And the only way you get a chance to see that is to put him in there and see what happens.
Little investigative journalism, Jay. I'm impressed picking up on the little details.
You know, just trying right here. We're just trying. It's springtime. It's a lot going on.
It's springtime, which means we read into every possible little thing because we are all desperate for insight as we are this far from football. But we are 1 week away from A-Day, a little more than a week, but a reminder, next Saturday, April 8th, is A-Day. If you are planning on going, make sure you get your tickets. They are on sale. If you are not, you can listen to our man Jay on the radio, and he'll give you all the action as it unfolds.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to do it for us here on Shoot the Breeze, right?
Yeah, we're shooting the breeze. And everybody, all your Auburn fans, I hope you got a chance to see Aiden Holloway, you know, played in the Matt Donald's All-American game the other day. So he's a real talent. Yeah, point guard. So, you know, hopefully our other guy, Wendell, stays and he can be the shooting guard. And then this kid can be the point guard, which takes a lot of pressure off Wendell.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, helps him make shots later in games because he has his legs under.
Right. Bodes well for everyone. Look, we're always welcoming in new talent at Auburn. That's what we've established as an athletic program, and it ain't stopping now. Right, Bo? All right, that's going to do it. I'm losing my mind. Thank you for listening to us here on Believe in Everything Auburn, presented by Bet Online. Taylor Davis, Jason Campbell, we greatly appreciate you guys listening. We'll send you into the weekend with a little chill episode and hope you come on back on Monday for a recap. And we will have some champions to talk about. We'll recap all the action out of both Final Fours and do a more in-depth preview of the spring game. So make sure you don't miss it. You can subscribe and get notifications, and we look forward to next week's episode. So thank you, and as always, War Eagle.
War Eagle, everybody. Enjoy your spring.
Peace.
Peace.
I'm holding a pencil like I have any piece of paper in front of me.
Say, what you like,
I don't.
Right?
Like. It just makes me look like I'm studious.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.